You have curved space and found our story, The Curvature Key. In our last episode, Sarah saved Castor from Brishek. However, Brishek got away and... Castor the Viking? We'll see if that continues. Thanks for tuning into The Curvature Chronicles, and let's get this thing started. Episode 10, The Handler's Mask. Here we go.
Vrashek hadn't been unconscious for long. While the Zarathian and human had discussed the book, choosing that wretched human, he had made his escape. The alley was still sticky with the scent of blood. A pile of tattered denim and bones, what remained of the last fool who had tried to stop him, lay cooling beneath the flickering street lamp. Vrashek didn't spare it a glance. He pressed himself against the brick wall, panting, his breath soft mist in the damp city night. He wiped his hand across his mouth. It came back slick with blue. Not blood, cellular decay. Earth's atmosphere was eating him alive.
Degenerate sphere. Too wet. Too cold. Too full of noise.
His trembling fingers reached into the inner folds of his stolen jacket, pulling free a jagged shard of dark crystal remnant tech from the last helix relay he'd smuggled out of the Andromeda arm. Its edges were dull now, inert. Even this fragment hated Earth. He should never have followed the book here. It was supposed to take him to the outer Kren Reach, back to the strongholds, back to the sky-choked black stations of home. Instead, the book had betrayed him. Landed him on a pale blue world that smelled of iron and rot, and bonded itself to a human. He pressed his back harder into the wall, teeth grinding as pain coursed through his left side again, an organ failure tremor. The third this week. If he didn't get off world soon, his DNA would collapse entirely. But even worse than the atmospheric breakdown, worse than the gnawing cold that curled inside his skin, was the insult. A double helix. He could still see the boy's face, Castor Ames, staring at the book like it belonged to him. A fragile species. A planet of bipeds without layered genomes, barely conscious in galactic terms. And yet the book had spoken to him. Why? He crouched near a rusted dumpster, pressing his fingers to the concrete. His strength had once shattered marble, snapped bone with the flick of a knuckle. Now it barely left a scratch on the stone. He let out a ragged breath and pulled a small data rod from his belt, pressing it into the building wall. A few glimmers lit up, signals from the last time he had accessed the book. A recorded pulse flickered across the holograph. A scan of Castor's bio-signature. He studied it, then froze. A faint spiral pattern threaded through the scan. Not enough to confirm, but not impossible. Triple helix markers. Faint, incomplete, forming.
No, no, you're not one of them.
He slammed his hand into the wall, cracking the concrete. Pain erupted up his arm, but the rage steadied him. If the book was remaking the human, if it was reshaping him into Zarathian-compatible form, then the artifact wasn't merely rogue. It was growing, learning, choosing. And that terrified him.
This is wrong. This is heresy. That thing should obey.
He stood swaying, hand shaking as he activated his cloak. He had one last chance before full breakdown. One final push. He would rip the book from the boy's hands, crack him open if needed. Use the portal to reach Zorathian High Command and finally sever the Empire's head. Then return to this festering world and finish what he started. And if the boy really was changing, then Castor Ames would die screaming. Because no human, no impure half-form with muddy blood was worthy. But Vrashek was worthy. He thought back to his training.
He knelt before the furnace. Not metaphorical, not spiritual. A real furnace, its violet-white flames licking the air like serpents. The temperature in the chamber was enough to melt bone, enough to vaporize the weak. And that was the point. Vrashek didn't flinch. Naked, scarred, body stripped to its core musculature, he held his stance while white-hot winds tore at him. The heat wasn't meant to kill him. It was meant to remake him. Above him, the instructors watched behind obsidian glass. One of them, the tall one, the female with the featureless black mask, pressed two fingers to her temple and issued a verdict in a language he'd learned to fear.
Acceptable.
She never spoke much, but when she did, lives changed. He didn't know her name, only her designation, Z Lambda 7. And only once had she spoken directly to him, long after his flesh had regenerated from the crucible and the cybergenetic helix threads had been sewn into his spine.
You will go where others won't. You will kill what others can't. And you will not ask why,
she said, handing him a data shard no larger than a thumbnail. He hadn't. Until now. He stalked through the vacuum-hardened corridors of Base Karok, still dripping from the magma infusion pod. The medics had told him the new augmentations would make him resistant to the biophysical collapse of traveling through curved space. But none of them mentioned what would happen if he were stranded on a planet with cold oceans, erratic electromagnetic fields, and organic fauna everywhere. The mission was clear. The artifact, portal in function, had to be retrieved from Oryx Station, a high-risk infiltration. But Z Lambda 7 had arranged everything. Security suppressors deactivated, scouts redirected. All he had to do was take it, use it to open a path home. But the artifact had other plans. It had jumped here. A planet named Earth. Primitive, unsuitable. Not a priority in most galactic files. Until now.
The book must not be allowed to imprint on another.
Z Lambda 7 had told him in a rare face-to-face meeting before deployment. Her mask had glinted in the low light.
Its compatibility matrix is awakening again. Should it complete bonding with another? It could destabilize everything. Kill the host if necessary.
He had not needed to ask what everything meant. He nodded, understanding perfectly. The artifact was too dangerous to leave in anyone's hands, even theirs. And yet, there had been a pause, a hesitation in her breath.
You may not be alone. There are others, watching the path of the book. Do not concern yourself with them. If you see signs of interference, especially from other Zorathians, you are authorized to eliminate them.
That had been enough for him. Kill the host. Retrieve the book. Burn the rest. But now? Now he was decaying. Earth's atmosphere was eroding the very helix that had made him elite. And the host, Castor, wasn't breaking. He was changing. Worse, the agent at the coffee shop, the girl with the strength and fire in her eyes, had felt familiar in a way he couldn't name. He gritted his teeth. Z Lambda 7 had said nothing about a guardian. She'd said nothing about the book defending itself or about bonding to a human with growing triple helix markers. He clenched his fists, blue fluid pulsing under the skin of his forearms. It hurt to breathe, but he would see this through. Vrashek was no scout, no diplomat. He was forged from the ashes of stars. And no one, not the boy, not the girl, not even the masked handler who had sent him here, would stand between him and the mission. Even if it killed him. The words, "I'm ready," had no sooner left his mouth than the world shuddered sideways. Castor had just enough time to draw breath before the yellow light of his apartment shattered into hard, briny sky. The book pulsed hot against his chest, threads of violet script wrapping around his wrist as if guiding him forward. His boots crunched down on snow-dusted stone, and when he looked up, he was ringed by men with braided beards, iron axes, and the sharp smell of salt water and blood. A circle. A duel's circle. Two warriors stood apart, both ragged with wounds, glaring across the ring. Between them lay a heap of treasure, hacked open chests, silver arm rings, the gilded prow ornament from some raided ship.
Yo, Castor!
A voice boomed, and Castor stiffened. Dozens of eyes were on him, not with suspicion, but expectation.
You will decide.
He realized the book had not dropped him here as an observer. It had thrust him into the role of arbiter, judge, ruler. One warrior staggered forward, slapping a bloodied hand to his chest.
The gold is mine! I struck down the Frankish lord. I carried the spoils back to the ship.
No! He would be bones without my shield! Half of what lies here belongs to me, by right!
The men around them bristled. A wrong decision would split the clan in two. Castor's pulse hammered, but strangely, the fear wasn't overwhelming this time. He felt steady, like he had been here before. He glanced at the book. Its pages fluttered in a wind that didn't touch the snow. Symbols bled across them, shaping and reshaping. He couldn't read the words, but the sense pressed against his mind. Lead, way, balance. He took a breath.
You claimed the kill, and you bore the shield that made the kill possible. Neither of you stands here without the other. So neither of you claims all.
Castor drew himself up, his voice steady now.
The spoils will be divided, not as halves, but as recognition. The killer takes the lord's gilded helm, the shield bearer the prow's ornament. The silver shall be shared among the clan, as their oars carried you both to war.
The murmurs rose, then steadied. Heads bowed. The warriors, though grudging, stepped forward to take their prizes. The crowd broke into a roar of approval. Castor stood still, his breath white in the cold. For a moment he felt it, the weight of command, the balance of justice, the power of holding a people together with words alone. And then the world snapped back. He was in the apartment again, sweat cooling on his neck, the book resting open on the counter. But its pages weren't blank. Across them, neat and jagged, words had been scrawled in dark ink that seemed too alive to be ink at all. They are coming. Agents in shadow. Born of your ally's bloodline. Castor blinked, trying to make sense of it. His ally's bloodline? Sarah? The words shimmered once, then burned away, leaving the page stark and empty. The cold was spreading. Not from Earth this time, not from the failing cells in his modified lungs or the tremors he now hid under his coat. No, this cold came from a realization that froze him far deeper. He was alone, truly alone. The transmission he'd intercepted had not been meant for him. He had hacked into the relay node above Earth's atmosphere after realizing his own handler, Z Lambda 7, had stopped replying. Not delayed, not jammed, simply silent. That wasn't protocol. She had always been precise. One ping every 6 hours, one encrypted update after every major engagement. So when he broke into the backup relay stream, using the last of his portable encryption gel, he expected only confirmation of a failure or relocation order. What he found was her voice, speaking Zarathian, to other Zarathians.
The book has begun imprinting again. Too fast. Faster than expected. The boy's genetics are a contaminant, but they are also the missing code. We may not need full Zarathian triple helix purity after all.
Another voice filtered through distortion. Calm, calculating.
If the Kren operative succeeds, the Council will be forced to abandon Milky Way stabilization. That includes Earth.
Yes, we let them take the bait. We cut off the arm to save the body.
The voices continued, discussing something called Phase Zero and a fallback location. But Vrashek had stopped hearing. We let them take the bait. We. He staggered back from the relay, the static in his ears rising. Z Lambda 7 had sent him to retrieve the book. Or so he thought. She had trained him, conditioned him, altered his very bones for this mission. But now, he was the bait. She never intended for him to return with the book. She had sent him to fail, to die, to spark an escalation that would justify the extinction of an entire planet and ensure the book never bonded to anyone again. But why? He remembered one phrase she had whispered to him during an accelerated neural dream trial in training, words he hadn't understood then. To preserve the future, the Zarathians must end. Now it made sense. She wasn't just High Command. She was Oblivion Covenant. And he had been her blade, not to strike for victory, but to cut away a piece of the universe. He pressed his palm against the cold steel wall of the derelict outpost where he'd found shelter. His vision swam, not from weakness this time, from rage.
You lied! You used me!
A shadow twitched on the far wall. Not an enemy, just the reflection of the flickering screen. Still, his body tensed on instinct. He was dying. Slowly. This world was eating him alive, but he would not go quietly. If Z Lambda 7 was part of a faction that wanted the book destroyed, if she'd sacrificed him to trigger some final war between Zarathians and Kren, then she was no Zarathian. She was something else. And he would make sure her betrayal was answered.
The artifact continues to stretch Castor, and is he beginning to doubt Sarah in all this? Vrashek the Betrayer has now become the Betrayed. Tune in next time to find out more. Thanks for listening to Curvature Key. Please like, subscribe, review. Just smash all them buttons. Until next time, keep your eyes on the curve.